There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to Not Another Mummy Podcast. I'm Alison Perry and you're listening to episode 33. Today's guest is Candice Braithwaite, a blogger, presenter and co-founder of the Make Motherhood Diverse campaign. As well as all of that, Candice is a mum of two, with the youngest not even 3 months old. She's got her hands full, this lady, I tell you. I was keen to chat to Candice about the online world and motherhood, and why the version of motherhood that we so often see online and in other media is so white and middle class. Candice wrote a blog post last year called "Where Are All the Black Mothers on Instagram?", which led to her setting up the Make Motherhood Diverse website, where mothers of different colour, shape and background share their stories. One of the things that prompted me to have this conversation with Candice was when a listener pointed out to me that apart from one guest, everyone that I've had on this podcast has been white. It really opened my eyes and I'm keen not to be part of the problem. So I found my chat with Candice very interesting and I hope you do too. Welcome Candice to the podcast.
Hello.
Keep looking at the mic.
Yeah, the mic has got a slightly phallic look to it, hasn't it? Is that what you meant?
I think so. I'm like, this mic protruding. It's so funny. I love it.
Yeah, hi. Sorry. It's not very discreet. I feel like I might need to level up on my tech and get something a bit smaller and discreet. It's quite big and cumbersome. So, and it's right in between us.
I know. I feel like one of the scummy mummies right now.
So. Well, that's good. That's only a good thing, surely. That's like podcast goals. But thank you for being on the podcast. It is fab. I've wanted to chat to you for a while now. So you're a mum of two. You've got Esme and RJ, haven't you? Who's 11 weeks old.
11 weeks. I know.
So you're like properly in the thick of it, aren't you?
Yeah. And I hate saying this because everyone's then like, shut up. But he's sleeping through the night.
Oh, wow.
And he's been doing so since 8 weeks. So I know I'm having it so much easier than most who had babies around the same time as me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, no matter how hard a day is, 8 p.m. comes and I know I won't see or hear from him till 8 the next morning.
That's amazing. So I'm just like, do you know what? I almost feel like if you have that bit cracked, then everything else just kind of feels a bit easier.
This is it. Because someone said the other day, oh, what's your advice for like keeping your relationship alive? And I'm like, sweetheart, unless the kid's sleeping through the night, that's like on the back burner. It doesn't matter what you do, unless both parents are well rested.
Oh, totally.
It's like,
when you're tired, I don't know what you guys are like, but me and my husband, we just nitpick at each other. And all of those things that you would normally just think in your head, you see out loud.
This is it. And every tiny thing is a problem where you can usually let it go. When you're tired, you're like, no, I can't, not today.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Tiredness is not good for a relationship.
This at all. But now he's sleeping through the night. I'm like, okay, step by step. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy at all. Especially like freelance life and the four-year-old who's going to school soon and managing her emotions. But I'm getting there.
So describe then what your job is. So you say freelance life in a nutshell. How do you describe what you do?
I'm starting to get comfortable with the term influencer.
Okay.
I know everyone feels a bit saying it, but it is what it is. And it's going to be around for a long time. So I would say social media influencer. But on the side, there is a lot of presenting jobs coming in. And that's my thing. I prefer to be on camera. When the camera's on, I think I'm even more myself than just face-to-face. Like, I'm so much better talking to a camera.
I've seen you doing some stuff with, is it Nurture Channel?
Yeah.
And you do, on Instagram stories, you do, is it Tea Time? which is you talking to camera, which is just brilliant. And I just love that you've taken, you know, a platform like stories and just created something a bit different with it rather than just what everyone else is doing.
I just saw this massive gap. I was like, we're always on our phones. Like, even our Skybox is linked to my phone. I very rarely actually sit and watch the actual TV. So I thought, hold on, what would it take to have a 2 to 4 minute show on stories? Because when I'm bored, I pop my phone up on the kitchen table while I'm eating and I just let people's stories roll.
Yeah.
As I'm eating, I'm just like, it's like TV. And I thought, how could we do that there? And it's such a quick and easy format. There's no pressure. And I get, oh, I'd love one day to have like my own show on Channel 4. But also with the internet, it's not the be all and end all. There's a way to carve out a space for yourself.
Yeah.
So
I think that's really important as well. You hear so many times people talk about how, well, there's no new ideas, you know, everything's been done already. There's no originality. I think that's rubbish.
No,
there are always new ideas. Take, for example, you know, Molly Gunn, Selfish Mother, what she's doing on Instagram at the moment, creating a whole Instazine once a week on Instagram. No one's done that before.
And it looks incredible.
It looks great.
It looks amazing. Like when she announced that idea, I was like, damn.
Me too. I said it to her. I was like, Molly, I love it, but I hate you because I didn't come up with this idea.
It looks incredible and it's on point and the engagement's there. And, you know, we don't like to say, of course, that things like Vogue will be around forever, but print is dying.
Yeah.
We just closed the doors on Look. Like, I loved that magazine. That was like the bridge from being a teenager to an adult. Look was perfect for that. And it's like, if you don't, I still don't get the people who are like, oh, not too sure about this social media stuff. You better get sure.
It's interesting because I used to work on Look and I worked on various magazines, and a lot of the people who work in that industry were very reluctant to embrace social media. And I think that some of that is feeling slightly threatened by this new, you know, medium that's coming along. And quite rightly, I mean, look, totally taken over, hasn't it?
It has. But again, there's space for everybody. I think regardless of followers, it's an even playing field. And I think if you're coming with original content, you're going to find your audience, which is a lot harder to do with print. You don't know where that stuff is going or if it's even hitting home because you can't get an immediate response. I buy a magazine every week. There's nowhere to write and say, I don't really like this article.
Yeah, I mean, you can. I mean, back in the 90s, you would write to your favourite magazine. You would write into Smash Hits or whatever. But you don't get a response back,
This is it. Social media is what I do. I love it.
How do you cope with that always being available thing? So obviously the benefit of social media is that people can contact other people and get a response. As somebody who is being contacted a lot, how do you balance just real life with responding to people, replying to DMs, comments?
Do you know what? I haven't done the balance very well. I'm going to admit that. And just earlier this week, I put up a note on Insta, like, I'm stepping back for a second because I really believe, no matter the size of your platform, you have to give back to your audience. Like, I understand this is a two-way street.
Yeah.
And I literally respond to every single DM, and I feel horrid if I don't. There's literally a few I can remember the past 3 weeks I haven't responded to, and I'm like, I feel really bad about that. And I'm having to learn to be like, okay, it's not the end of the world if I can't get back to everyone. Like, there is no balance for me. It's all or nothing, and I'm really quite sensitive, and I'm like, oh, if I don't do that, I hope the person doesn't think I'm A, B or C. But it's like having to be firm with myself, especially with the two kids, because you'd be online all the time if you did that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just don't have the capacity anymore.
I read a really interesting blog post. I'll send it to you. I'll put it on the show notes as well, by a lady called Mel Wiggins, and she was talking about how it is this balance, because every time you create something and put it out there, whether you're a blogger Or even if you're just, you know, putting up a Facebook post that's being seen by a few hundred people, you are inviting a response.
Yeah.
And that then sets off this catalyst where you then need to respond back to them. So it's no longer, you know, a case of just putting something out in the world and walking away and getting on with your day.
Yeah.
You really do need to keep up this conversation.
Yeah.
And that can take a lot out of you.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I used to, before I made it more of a business, I used to speak to other influencers who were like, yeah, I totally schedule my posts. And I never got that. I was like, no, I really like feeling organic and all this stuff. And then it hit me. It's like, no, you better start scheduling so that when you put something out there that you know is going to need that time and attention, you've already allotted the time. It's like, well, I'm going to have 3 hours today because I know this post is going to get quite heated and I'm going to have to moderate or respond or, and I'm going to do that. And I was like, okay, this is when it goes from just being something I do for fun to making it a brand and a business, because you do have to control that space. And although we're not role models, these spaces are our brands, and we have to be sure about what's going down in the comments and are people representing us in the right way. And it takes time and effort to do that.
Yeah, of course it does. So as well as Instagram, which must feel like it's the entirety of your job, you blog and you've got you're one of the co-founders of Make Motherhood Diverse alongside Nicola Washington and Sarah Gregory. So tell me about that and how that came about.
That came about off the back of a terrible Mumsnet thread. Most of them are terrible, but
you're not a Mumsnet fan, Candice.
No, do you know what? I'm not a fan, because in the early days with Esme, I found Mumsnet really helpful. What I'm not a fan of is using negativity for clickbait. You know, I'm just not down with that. If it's a reason, and I'm also not saying that free speech is fine, but it's literally people in these spaces just tearing other people to shreds.
Yeah.
That they don't know for no good reason. Nothing's been done to them specifically. It's just a centre where people get together and chat rubbish.
It's interesting, isn't it? I was on the way up here, I was listening to a Scummy Mummies podcast with Justine Roberts, who's the founder of Mumsnet. And I found it really interesting. One thing she said made me kind of look at it in a different light, which was interesting. She basically said that she doesn't think Mumsnet is a particularly nasty place. She thinks that we live in a bit of a nasty world, and that basically these conversations are happening everywhere, whether it's, I'm kind of paraphrasing now, but whether it's like, you know, you sitting having a coffee with a friend and having, you know, a bit of a kind of gossipy conversation about somebody you know, or a celebrity, I guess. And her point was that Mumsnet is anonymous, therefore it brings out people are being a bit more honest about how they feel rather than being polite. In the real world, maybe you're a little bit more polite about your opinions. I just thought that was a really interesting take on the Mumsnet forums.
No, I agree, and I totally see where she's coming from. I think the only problem is if there's not a limit to it, it can be really damaging, especially to the person being spoken about, because 80% of it is not constructive criticism. It just doesn't make any sense. And it's like it's just being horrible for being horrible's sake. But anyway. And when I looked at this thread, funnily enough, as negative as it was, all that jumped out to me is all the women who were, even though they were being spoken about negatively, they all looked the same.
Wow.
They all came from the same demographic. And I was like, I don't even care that these people are being torn to shreds. It just seems like that playing field isn't open to all. Not that I would want to be spoken about poorly, but why isn't the face of mothering or parenthood, especially online, wider than this? And I spoke to Nicola, I spoke to Sarah, we were speaking to a few other people, but it came down to us three, and we were like, okay, let's start something. And I just came up with the hashtag Make Motherhood Diverse, and it stuck. And then we just had an outpouring of people's stories. And what's so funny is, yes, parenting has always been seen as white and middle class, but there were a lot of white and middle class women stepping forward who had lost their husbands or had remortgaged their house for IVF. And it's like it goes so much deeper than just the image on Insta and what people think mothering looks like. It's like, even if this person looks like they're ticking all the boxes, there's always a story underneath.
Yeah. And am I right in thinking that it started with you, that you wrote a blog post called Where Are All the Black Mothers on Instagram?
Yeah.
And I'm sure the listener will already have a bit of an understanding as to why black mothers aren't as visible. But what's your take on it?
Okay, there's a couple of takes on it. The first take is, obviously, if you're not being seeing yourself, you're less likely to step forward. But also, the discussion of race and tokenism, it's become quite a divisive conversation. And I feel like minorities sometimes feel like, no, that's their space, this is our space, they do that and we do this.
Is that because it's a safe space for them, do you think?
Safe space, and also, how can I say this without getting in hot water, but I know what I mean. It's almost as if you feel like certain things are closed off to you. It's like, well, no, I can't do that because I don't look like those people, or I don't come from that background. Mm. And even if I wanted to step into that space, I just can't do that.
Yeah.
And it's like trying to get through those tiny cracks. And I feel like a lot of minority mothers are like, even if I wanted to go to that event, I feel like I can't because I can't afford those clothes, or those aren't the usual people that I hang out with. And it's a lot of fear. And then on the other side, the mums that are white and middle class, they've never closed their doors to me. But also they've admitted to me, it's like, well, I don't know how to seem more appealing, or like, oh, come here without making that person a token. It's really difficult.
Well, I really wanted to ask you about this, because this is something that I think about a lot.
Mm.
I wonder what your take is on whether it's a brand campaign or a TV show or a radio show or anything, any kind of media, mainstream media or social media, where you have somebody saying, we need this to be more diverse, we need to have a black mother involved.
Yeah.
You know, is that great because it is making motherhood more diverse, making that more visible? Or is it actually a bit of an insult because you are the token black mum being wheeled in just to make it seem more PC?
Yeah. It's a double-edged sword, and it will always depend on where that brand or where that platform is coming from. It's like, and this is another problem which I only realised I had to check my own privilege about. Diversity isn't just race.
No, of course not.
You know, are we looking at parents who are disabled? What background do they come from? Same-sex families. I was like, whoa, there's so much to consider here. And I think so, these brands, it's like, okay, if you are just wheeling in any kind of token, you would know that and you need to check that. And you need to open up the space about diversity, because you could have 5 white mums. And on the face of it, someone could be like, oh, that's the most undiverse picture. But when you start to tell their stories, you're like, hold on a second. There are women who are a completely different race from me who have grown up exactly how I have.
Mm.
And that in itself is diversity. But the tokenism issue, it really comes down to whether the brand or the person thinks they're being genuine or authentic, I think.
It's tricky, isn't it? It's really hard.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, and as you say, it's not just about getting more visibility for black women, is it? It's about sex, sexuality, class, disability, making sure that everyone has a voice. That's what I really love, looking at the website that you guys have made. You know, the stories that you've got from these women are, I mean, they're inspiring, but they're really eye-opening, and it's such a good reminder that this white, middle-class, able-bodied, you know, vision of motherhood that we're being fed right across the media isn't actually the reality.
At all. And what's so funny is for the women that they are even showing, when you start to speak to those women, that's not even their reality. They're like, actually, I'm kind of piss poor and we've had to remortgage. And, you know, there are so many layers to what's going on. And it's like, wow, you're part of the story and you're not, it's not even real to you.
Mm.
And also it's like, you know, when we find out we're pregnant, we all shop for the same things. We all go to the same places. We all just want our babies to be safe and well clothed and well looked after. So it's like, don't shut out the millions of mothers who are going to pour tons into this parenting economy just because you're scared of widening the face of motherhood. Like, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah. So who's doing it right? Who out there is showing motherhood for what it really is? Is anyone getting it right?
No one's getting it bang on, but I would say, weirdly, River Island, they have a kids line, and their advertising is just, like, it pulls at my heartstrings. They've got kids in wheelchairs of all different races, of all different sizes. I'm like, now that's perfect. And none of it feels odd.
Forced.
Or like, oh yeah, you just picked one person.
Yeah.
I'm like, that was bang on. Gap always do it well.
Mm.
And not forced. It just looks so natural. So, but in terms of like mothering and parenting, there's no one that I'm like, you've got this.
Yeah.
They're trying. They're trying. And to be honest, this conversation's quite new, especially in the parenting and mothering area. It's a new conversation. So I'm not expecting brands to be like, oh, next campaign, we're going to get this.
Yeah. So what needs to happen? What, you know, people are listening. What?
I would always say it starts from the top to the bottom. It's so easy to just be like, oh, here's five influencers. We're going to pick a black one or a Muslim one. It really starts with who's in your boardrooms. Who's being hired? Are there enough spaces for those that couldn't afford to go to uni and might need to come into your company on a grant or a special internship?
Mm.
That is where. I got into publishing by entering a competition. I didn't go to uni. Number one, I didn't want to go. Number two, paying that back, I was just like, ooh. And I don't even know if I'm going to pick a degree I want to stick with for the rest of my life. I saw a competition online, ended up getting a job with Penguin Random House, walked into a space that I felt so, like, every day I walked in, I was like, this is so not me. I feel so excluded. Everyone was lovely, but it just wasn't the setup because everyone in publishing has come from some kind of good stock or high money. And it's like, so the problem really does start at the top. Are we going to make space and offer job opportunities to different kinds of people? Because then when it came down to an advertisement, you wouldn't make a mistake because all those people were present in the boardroom.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And are you happy to name and shame? Is there anyone out there that you're just like consistently, they're just getting it wrong and they're just showing a very narrow white middle class version of motherhood?
No.
No.
And not even because I can think of one off the top. No. Honestly. Look, I wish you could see it.
You're reacting to my face.
I'm just... no, honestly, because who did come to mind? Bless them. I was going to say Bowden, but they're trying. So I can't even say, you know, everyone is trying. And I'm like, as long as I can see you trying, I'm not even going to be like, oh, you're the worst in the world.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because Bowdoin did that campaign recently around mothers, and they had an older mum, and they had Freddie Harrell.
Exactly.
But it was still criticised. Mm. I saw quite a lot of criticism around it.
Mm.
Which, yeah, it's interesting. It's almost like sometimes brands do a little nod to making things diverse.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they almost like don't go far enough.
Yeah, it's almost as if they're scared.
Mm.
And I don't understand it. Why would you be scared of representing people that do spend money? They do.
Well, it's like you say, it probably just depends on who's in the boardroom, who's making the decisions.
This is it. This is it.
And what their view on the world is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what's important to them.
And again, like I said, I would have said Bowdoin, but everyone loves Freddie. And the fact that they're trying, I can't hate you for trying. And guess what? Like we were saying about, you know, when we put something up on social media, it's now open conversation. People at Bowdoin are reading those comments. And they're sitting down and they're like, right, how do we get this right? And that therein is the beauty in social media. It's great for that.
Yeah.
It's like you can get your feedback on the spot.
It's a two-way conversation.
Yeah.
And one of the ones that made a few headlines recently was the Hello Magazine Star Mum Awards, sponsored by Next. And you were quite vocal about that. I seem to remember you I think you were the you kicked off the conversation. Oh, you were the one who noticed that their judging panel was made up of five white middle class mums.
And okay, backstory. I did not want to speak about it. I'd seen it and I was like, oh, this is trash, but it's boring. We have this conversation all the time. Literally, my DMs were going, my notifications were coming in so quick, my phone wasn't making a sound.
So people were contacting you about it, flagging it to
you. Have
you
seen this? Have you seen this? Have you seen this? You should talk about this. Have you seen this? Have you seen...
That's really interesting, though, that people obviously see you as a mouthpiece about diversity.
This is it.
That's amazing.
And there's a lot... It's amazing, but it's also a lot of pressure because I had seen it. And I'll be honest, a major part of me didn't want to go there because I was like, I respect Anna. I respect Mother Pucker.
And she was on the panel, wasn't she?
And I was like, I know with any influencer there are trolls, and I don't want a reason to bring trolls to anyone. So I was prepared to see and not see. But then the amount of people that were like, yo, you're a co-founder of something called Make Motherhood Diverse. You literally can't not say, wow, this is bad. So I put up the post, named no names, and my word, the fire that came off the back of that. A good fire, but a fire that I think about Anna all the time in a way that I would never want to hurt someone in that manner, and I would never want to put someone in a negative situation. It was just like wrong place, wrong time. And I felt like it's something I would have had to point out even if my friend was in it. Well, I would have phoned my friend, but it was just like, yeah, we have to. And this is another thing, when you're in a place of influence, even though you're not a role model, we have to learn to take the temperature of the room.
Yeah,
that is our responsibility, because how do we try and make change if we're not going to be like, oh, who's on this shoot?
Yeah,
how can I help widen this space?
Well, that's why I find the conversation so interesting to follow, because it really made me look at myself and realise that I was part of the problem, because I thought, you know what, if I'd been asked to go on that panel and I'd turned up to the photo shoot, I don't think it would even have occurred to me that it was five white women on the shoot. And that's bad. And that means that I am part of the problem.
And guess what? It's not even bad. It's normal. I don't wake up every day and think about what the life of a white woman's like, because it's not my life. It's not the first thing I think of. But I think highlighting that made everyone realise, and it made everyone realise how easy it could be for us to be on the opposite end.
Yeah.
Because since then I've spoken to people who have been like, but you too now have to check that when you go to shoots, you're not the token black person, because that in itself is bad. And people could have a lot to say about that. So it's this constant like, are we doing the right thing? Are we sending the... It's a group effort.
It's exhausting, but it's so worthwhile.
Yeah. It is a group effort, and it's like, if we don't start with checking ourselves, none of the other major stuff, and I mean major stuff like inner city kids being killed and people dying in places that are burning because they're too poor to move somewhere else. If we don't start with this simple stuff, we will never get to tackle the larger issues.
Yeah, that's something I feel really strongly about, actually, because quite often you get people dismissing small things in life and saying, but we've got much bigger things to worry about. And I genuinely, wholeheartedly believe that unless you tackle the small stuff,
this is it.
The big stuff just doesn't get sorted.
This is it. And it could start with something of noticing, oh, you know, if I was on that panel, I wouldn't have looked around. But then that could become a bigger thing of having empathy for someone in Grenfell. Yeah. Just because that's not our position, or we might be in a better financial position, or, you know, the less empathetic could be like, well, why didn't they just live somewhere where they had better choices? It makes us check our privilege.
Absolutely. Okay, so who should we be following on social media? Who are the mums out there? Because I've seen you say that, you know, there are loads of amazing, diverse mums on social media. So who are they, and who should we make sure we're following?
There's an American mum, her name is LaTonya Yvette. She is amazing. She's currently writing a book. She's just been through a breakup. She's raising these two mixed race kids, and it's just also New York, but so honest, and she's black, and it's the New York that I've always visited and seen, and I just admire how honest she is.
Is it a bit different to Milton Keynes?
Oh, God. Oh, guys. I've only moved here for the kids. Listen, London would have me back in the snap.
Yeah, you love it.
do you know what? I like the green space and the fresh air. It's lovely. Who else do I follow? There's Yevadne. She's got Mums That Slay.
Yeah.
Love that. Because she does diversity in a very quiet way. Mm. It's just mums showing their day-to-day style, no matter their size or their shape.
Yeah.
Love her channel. Love a bit of Style Me Sunday, obviously. And then there's the not-so-obvious ones. There's a girl I've recently started following, Love from Danica, I'm saying her name wrong, I'm sure, but she's all about body positivity. Mm. And the things she speaks about, like, literally, I don't know if I can even say this on this podcast, but she recently spoke about contracting genital herpes from a boyfriend.
Mm.
And, like, the conversation, that's just, I was even blown away by that. And I'm really outspoken, but the level of maturity and bravery to publicly be like, a cheating partner gave this to me,
yeah,
and I don't like the way society makes me feel so bad about myself. Now, those, when I see those kind of issues discussed on social media, I'm like, right, I'm going to stick around for what you're doing.
That's the amazing thing, though, isn't it, about, you know, social media, that, you know, back in the day, you would have to pick up a women's magazine to read, like, one person's story.
Yeah.
And now, actually, you've got this very honest, raw account of someone's experience.
Yeah.
And then they're inviting you to share your stories, yeah, and it becomes this two-way conversation.
It's amazing. It blows me away. And again, that level of bravery and the kind of friendships you can see that are made. Amazing. So yeah.
It's amazing. Cool. Thank you. And all right, Candy, some quick fire questions to finish off. If you were to write a memoir, what would you call it?
I feel like this is a trick question. It would be called The Essays of a Brown Girl in the Ring.
Oh, I love it.
So maybe I've thought of that.
It might be in the pipeline. I love it.
Maybe you got some hot news off the press there.
Exclusive. That's an amazing title. Mm.
It's actually based on like a 1970s song, and I remember it being sung as a nursery rhyme at school. There's a brown girl in the ring, tra-la-la-la-la. And it's in discussion.
I love it.
No one steal that.
Yeah, we're copywriting it right now. Okay, are you a morning person?
Defo. Before the kids, I used to get up about, when I had Esme, I used to get up at 4 to get to the gym for 4:30.
You did not.
I was obsessed back then, because then Papa B, my husband, would have to go to work at 6. So I'm an early riser.
That's insane.
It was stupidly insane.
Wow.
All I've done this time around is eat and not work out. And whilst I'm like not in love with my body, I'm also not super stressed and exhausted.
That's good. It's all about balance, isn't it? And who's your ultimate favourite person on Instagram stories?
Oh my gosh, that's so difficult. Okay, there's two. Maybe it's because I know her personally. There's a friend I have called Kalechi. She's amazing. No, okay, there's three. There's Kalechi. There's Kemi Kids, Yvonne Telford. Mm-hmm. So funny. And Susie Verrill. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Susie. Like, no.
Yeah. She's comedy. I love it. Excellent. Final question. What's been your most embarrassing parenting moment?
My most embarrassing parenting moment? Gosh.
Are you not very easily embarrassed? No,
it wasn't embarrassing. I was just really scared. I was once going up with Esme on the escalator and she wasn't strapped into the car seat. And I'm there looking around at people and my child is falling forward. And everyone behind me is like, your baby's falling.
No.
Yeah. And so now I'm just petrified of escalators.
Yeah.
Literally, I have to plan a route to see where I can get off, where there's a lift.
Yes.
If not, I don't take the kids.
What a surprise. Oh my goodness. On that child safety, call the social services note, Candice. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's been wonderful to chat to you.
You too.
Thank you. Isn't she brilliant? Big thank you again to Candice, and thank you to you for tuning in. Please head over to iTunes where you can rate, review and subscribe to the podcast, and tell all your friends to listen, and I'll catch up with you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.